And if it comes up our way, but a high of 81. Friday, some sunshine, a high of 82. Same for Saturday, a high of 80. We're sitting at about 65 right now in downtown Butler. Your news time is just about 12:30 in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave is off for another day, so Tyler and Kayla will be taking the air chair next with It's Your Turn. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a good day.
WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
Welcome to the program. It's Your Turn, the Tuesday edition. Tyler Friel and Kayla Molzan in for the vacationing Dave Malarkey. Thank you for joining us, and it is Tuesday, September 11th. Coming up later on in the program, we will dive into a little bit of a 9/11 conversation with Doug Saltzman. He's a former staffer to Senator Arlen Specter and a frequent guest on the It's Your Turn program, and we'll discuss what his role was in Senator Arlen Specter's office on the day of 9/11 and then the aftermath of it. We'll also chat with Steve Eckert of Mars Bank. And they'll be talking about the Step Forward program. It's a Mars Bank's initiative to help vets, firefighters, EMS agencies in and around Butler County. And then at 1:30, we have a special program for you as we have a Tom Brokaw Remembers 9/11 special. It is the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and there's some songs in there as well as narration from Tom Brokaw, who obviously is a news icon in the country. But first, we turn our attention to something on the lighter side. The Butler County Symphony. Yes, it is symphony time already. We are into September, and the first show will be here sooner rather than later. And Kayla, this is a big year for the Butler County Symphony. This is year number 70.
70. We're so excited to have Patty Stagno and Judy Wadding. You are both on the board. You have to be excited this year, Judy, for the 70th anniversary.
Very much so, yes. It's something we're very excited about. I'm, of course, very nervous about moving into it, but I think it's all going to work out very nicely on Friday.
And so you mentioned Friday, and that is the date of the 70th anniversary dinner. This is at the Butler Country Club. Judy, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on Friday?
Well, what's going to happen, we are recognizing two people in an organization, Charles Norton and Janice Lyric in the Butler School District. This was a subject that was discussed many years ago by the Butler Symphony Board. Would we be able to recognize people who had contributed to the success of the symphony? And so we decided this was a good time to do it and have an anniversary celebration dinner honoring these people.
And so 70 years, Janice Lyric, you said, Charles Norton. What exactly, maybe Patty, I'll bring you in on this one, what exactly were their impacts to the symphony?
Well, Charles Norton was one of the founding members of the orchestra. He played first chair clarinet with the orchestra and played with them for 60 years.
Wow.
So he just retired, from playing with the orchestra 10 years ago. So that's that's amazing. He's an amazing gentleman, and he has such a historic background with the symphony. He was part of Mars Bank, and Mars Bank was the organization that actually underwrote the very first concert back in 1949.
This has kind of been an unintentional, seamless transition to our next guest from Mars Bank.
That's true. There you go. Yeah. And you're welcome.
Good point.
But he has a great history with the organization as a benefactor, as a volunteer. He has journals of history that we've been able to take a look at and so forth, and has been very, very helpful in keeping us afloat and keeping us successful for all these years.
And the symphony is remarkable to me, just in terms of the talent that is there. And obviously the longevity. I mean, you think of 70 years of a town. You know, Butler County, obviously not a small area by any means, but not Allegheny County. It has been able to sustain a very solid, a very extraordinarily good symphony for that long.
Well, it began basically as a community organization, but has evolved into a world-class orchestra right now. All of our musicians are professionals. There was a time way back in the history of the orchestra when they were just volunteers, and they brought in a few professional musicians from Pittsburgh and from outlying areas. And now we still do have many musicians who drive up from Pittsburgh to perform with us. But these are all professionals, as well as we draw from the the colleges and the universities mm-hmm. in the area, the great music schools that we have here in Western Pennsylvania, also other performing groups as well. We have a number of music educators who are also part of the orchestra. So, there are an awful lot of people that come into to Butler to participate in this.
To Tyler's point, I know I've talked to so many people who are so appreciative that we have the world-class musicians in the symphony that we do. Because like you said, I mean, we are not a huge town, but we have huge talent in the symphony. And I know a lot of people got to take part in that through your summer concert series in downtown Butler. And I know that is continuing, I believe, through September.
Exactly. So 16 summer lunchtime concerts, which is a great way to kick off the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been really happy to focus on local talent, as diverse as it is, in those lunchtime concerts this summer.
Back to those honorees, you mentioned the two people, but there's also a school district that's being recognized too. Can you talk about that?
Well, Butler School District was kind of our home base. The Butler School District actually welcomed the orchestra way back in the late 40s, early 50s, to provide a venue for the orchestra to perform. Their first concert was an invitational concert, and it was held at what at that time was Butler High School, which is now Butler Middle School. It's the mm-hmm. building that we have okay. over on North Street. And then when the high school opened, then the orchestra moved for performances up to the high school. And then eventually, whenever the intermediate school was built, then Butler County Symphony was considered as part of the design for the intermediate school auditorium there. Took into play all the acoustics mm-hmm. and that was a consideration as the architects designed and built that facility.
We were lucky enough to have a member on our board who actually worked for the architectural firm.
So
they kind of set things up according to the acoustics, et cetera, so mm-hmm. that the symphony, not just specifically for the symphony, but it sure helped.
Yeah.
Right. It's so important, too. I mean, when you talk about acoustics.
Right.
And I know that it's so nice to have a school district on board, and they have been on board for so long.
Absolutely.
To
yes,
bring that to people right in town.
They've been very encouraging also of our organization, and not just providing the venue, mm-hmm. but also, encouraging our fundraising efforts and everything too, and helping us with reducing rental costs and that sort of thing. So, we work hand in hand with the district, and it's important that we recognize their contribution at this celebration as well.
Are tickets still available for this, or is it too late? I know it's coming up on Friday.
Well, we kind of closed it last Friday.
Well, that's a good thing, though. It must be full.
But we decided that we could probably accept some last-minute reservations if people would be interested. Because sometimes when people find out the people who are being honored, mm-hmm. I think they may be interested, especially we talked about Charles Norton, but we have mm-hmm. Janice Lyric also. And Janice has a lot of history to share also, remembering that she said she remembered hauling her cello to the top, the third floor mm-hmm. of the City Building is where they rehearsed.
Oh, wow.
And she remembered taking her cello up all those steps. So
there are a lot of steps there. I've walked those steps.
Absolutely. And so I think she's one that is probably pretty well known in the community. And I think that we could still accept some last-minute reservations.
Okay.
We could squeeze some people
okay.
in.
So if you contact the symphony office and you can help them.
No, we have Barb McKissick is the person who's been taking reservations for us. And so she would be the person to contact. They could call the symphony office if they wished, except David's kind of busy getting all of our last-minute things pulled together, I'm afraid. Barb's phone number, and it's out there, so it's not something that we're saying that we shouldn't say. So it's 724-822-7585. And I cleared the last-minute reservations with Lisa at the Country Club, and she said, that would be fine.
Okay.
So as long as I let her know in the next day or so.
Okay.
Why? Sure.
So if somebody's listening and they think, I want to get in on that.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have them there.
And you guys are going to have a performance during the dinner, correct?
Well, Vince Tavallario is actually going to be playing the keyboard during a cocktail hour for an hour. And he's a member of our board. So he's doing that for us. And then we have the Strolling Strengths coming in.
I love that group.
Nice. I do too. I think it's a really nice group of young people playing the violins. And I believe there's a cello in the group also.
Okay. But I don't think that cello strolls.
No.
Let's hope not.
That would be difficult.
I could see that. I like that.
Is the Strolling Strengths connected just to Butler School District? Or are they with the outlying districts as well? Do you know?
I'm not. She was with the Butler School District. Okay. But the lady has since retired. And I think this is something that she's doing with private students now. Now, I'm not positive about that. But they were always connected.
Mm-hmm. I do believe there are other school districts in the area. North Allegheny has a Strolling Strengths program.
They do, yes.
Okay. And so it gives those young musicians an opportunity to get out there and to practice their art.
It's a chance to perform in people who aren't your peers. You know,
exactly.
It
kind
of gives you an opportunity to go, okay, this is more of a professional environment. You know, let's see, let's check those musical chops out and see what it's like to perform in front of some people. Again, if you're just joining us, we're here talking with Judy Wadding and Patty Stagno. She's a board president. Judy in charge of she's the chair of the 70th celebration for the Butler County Symphony. You guys do have an upcoming season, and it's going to be here sooner rather than later. I mean, we're talking October 6th as the first date for the show. And you had mentioned where these shows take place, the Butler Intermediate High School. And I did not know that it was kind of built with the symphony, at least partly in mind, because it does stand out when you go to other districts' auditoriums or even inside, you know, the Butler County, Butler Area School District. This auditorium is a beautiful place to watch a show. I mean, you don't feel like you're out of school whenever you're there watching it.
True. Absolutely. That's even have our own little storage room they built.
Okay.
That's specifically for us also.
We're needing more and more storage.
We need more.
So I'll put that out there as well. We'll try to work with the district to get another storage room.
But the first show, Bernstein and Barber, let's talk about tickets first. When those go on sale, maybe season tickets. Patty, if you want to dive into that a bit.
Sure. Season tickets have been on sale since the end of May.
Okay.
And you can still buy season tickets at the office through our association executive, David. You can make a call there. The number down at the office is 724-283-1402, and he'll be glad to do that. You can pick up tickets, season tickets, or tickets for individual concerts on ShowClix, and if you go to ShowClix, you can just go ahead and do that online. That's very easy, a very easy process as well. But he'll be glad to take care of that for you. Adult tickets are $25. Student tickets are $8. Huh? And when you think of the quality of music that this orchestra produces, you know, that's a drop in the bucket. I think it's a very affordable evening. I've always said that the Butler County Symphony is like Butler County's best kept secret, because, you know, we do have such a great organization here, and it's a great evening of music. So tickets are still available, definitely, for individual concerts as well as season tickets. We start off October 6th. Most of our concerts are the first Saturday of the month. So that would be in October, November, December, and then we skip January. We have a concert the first Saturday in February and March, and then we end up on a Sunday afternoon in April, on April 14th. And that's kind of a wrap-up of the 70th season. We're going to be having having a reception after that, and kind of again a closing celebration to this historic year for us. So yeah, we're looking forward to the whole season. We basically do three traditionally classical concerts, and then three lighter concerts, more of a pops idea. And I know Matthew Kramer, our musical director and conductor, has been here with Dave a number of times, you know, discussing the upcoming concerts and so forth. So I know Matthew will be glad to hear about a little plug here too, and then he'll be here the first week in October to talk with Dave again more of the specifics of that first concert. But yeah, it's a tribute to Leonard Bernstein and also the music of Samuel Barber. And this being Bernstein's 100th anniversary, it was fitting. Many, many orchestras are doing tributes to him and his music and his talent.
Patty, are there any shows that you're particularly looking forward to? I know that the Harry Potter selection caught my eye. I think that'll be so interesting.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, and we are actually doing an educational outreach in county schools the days leading up to that as well, to get the kids really excited about classical music and so forth. And then they'll have an opportunity to attend the concert with a parent or with an adult as well. So we go out into the schools and do these different educational outreach programs. But that comes right before the Harry Potter concert this year, so to kind of stir up some of the interest there. And the kids are invited to come in costume if they wish. And so we'll have a great evening with that. So.
Yeah. I think even the adults could come. I plan to be there.
I mean, that's right around Halloween. This is the November 3rd concert. So perfect outreach, too, to get kids interested. I think some people think, you know, going to the symphony is an adult-only experience, and I know that's not really the case a lot of times. Oh, and no, young people are interested.
We have lots of young concert goers. That's the next generation of our musicians. So, yeah, want to get them exposed to good music early.
Absolutely.
And you talk about the Bernstein. Is it Bernstein or Bernstein?
You know, I've always gone back and forth on that. Exactly. I even Googled it as late as this morning, and there are different opinions out there. So.
You know. Anything goes.
Yeah, but even like classical music like that, I don't want to say it's amazing. It has stood the test of time because Bernstein, obviously, like you said, 100th anniversary of that. But even a younger generation, I think, still has an appreciation for the sound of that music. And then maybe if they haven't been exposed to it, this would be a great opportunity to kind of get into that type of music. Obviously, it may not be the thing you listen to in the car with your friends.
Sure.
But it's always something enjoyable to tune in and just hear a different side of music. Because, and even just, you know, on the pop side of things, there's so many different avenues you can go with music. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've always appreciated about the differences between all the different types of shows the symphony does, is that you start out with Bernstein and then you go to Harry Potter and then you go to Holidays. Yeah. Is that, you know, a symphony can generate such a different sound every time you go see them.
Exactly. And we've tried to mix up that programming. Matthew Kramer does such a great job in, scheduling our programs and setting our schedules and so forth, and performing and choosing and performing music that's going to appeal to a wide variety of people. So, you know, we have a number of studies that we do on our demographics so that we know who's attending our concerts and who we'd like to attend our concerts. And those are the people that we're reaching out to. So, you know, we've got a great venue here in Butler. We've got amazing orchestra, great programming, and you don't have to drive into Pittsburgh to hear it.
So, we have something for everybody.
Absolutely.
We do.
I know we just have a few more minutes with Patty and Judy from the Butler County Symphony. I know we mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but the concert series is still continuing, the summer concert series, and it is free. I know there will be, three more shows? How has this gone this summer? I think it's so neat that it is free. It's in the afternoon. A lot of people come on their lunch break, and you just hear beautiful music in the streets, which is awesome.
And it's also broadcast into Diamond Park as well. So if you don't want to sit inside the air conditioning, which is a godsend this
lately,
time.
Yeah.
Oh, you better believe.
On some days, yeah.
If you'd like to sit out in the park, you can hear the music. It's broadcast out there. So, we've got little combos who have come in and performed. We had Collision Band last week. We have Cloud Chamber coming up this Friday. We have the NKC trio the week after that, and that's more classical. That is three ladies from the orchestra who play flute, violin, and cello. And they they perform around the area, too. We're doing weddings and other events as well. So there, that's a great group to come and hear, whether you're inside or whether you're out in the park. Mm-hmm. And then we end up the summer season with an all-star jam and pulling some musicians in and some people that you might not necessarily realize that play a musical instrument. Man, they can really wail on that.
And these are Fridays at noon.
Fridays at noon at the Symphony Office, right.
And then coming up this Friday as well is the 70th anniversary dinner. And Judy, you did say there is an opportunity for people, if they are interested, to get some last-minute tickets, but they should do that sooner rather than later.
Sure. It would be better to call Barb rather than try to send reservations in at this point so that she has you on the list. And I would say, yes, sooner than later would be a good idea.
And that number again is 724-822-7585.
I moved my paper. 724-822-7585, yes.
Okay, sounds good. So if that's the number, if you want to get into this dinner, that's the number to call. And again, that is this Friday at the Butler Country Club. And that begins at
6:30.
Well, 6:30 is the cocktail hour.
Okay.
And dinner will be at 7:30. So Vince will be playing during the cocktail hour. And then after we have our meal during dessert or something to that effect is when the strolling strings will entertain.
All right.
So sounds like a fun evening to me. Anyhow, I'm excited.
Judy, I wanted to ask you right before we go. I know you are so excited, but have you stopped and thought about what this means for the community? I mean, 70 years.
Yes. And like you said about the fact that we've survived all this time, and the fact that we have people like Mr. Norton and Mrs. Slarik. I think that's amazing that we have them, because they're able to come and we can honor them. And I'm so thankful for that, and thankful for all the information they have. They are a wealth of information about the symphony.
And that was such a difficult decision as well, because over the 70 years,
people to pick from.
Oh, my word. Yes, to narrow it down to three and to honor three, you have to start somewhere, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, probably should have started, you know,
years ago. Right.
But the plan is to honor people each year. From here on out.
Okay.
And then there's a plaque that will be placed down in the symphony office, and so their names will be on nameplates in the symphony office for recognition with the year that they were honored. And so it's a tradition that we're starting this year and hope to continue for many years to come.
We won't have a dinner each year, however. At least I don't plan to do that. But we'll have some kind of a ceremony or some kind of something special to honor more people. There are so many people who have brought us to the point that we're at this year with the symphony. So many.
Very neat.
Made it good.
Judy Wadding, Patty Stagno, thank you so much for coming in.
Best of luck on the upcoming season.
Best of luck with the dinner tonight.
Thank you.
Again, that's the Butler County Symphony, and you can learn more at their website about the upcoming season as well. It's butlersymphony.org. Coming up after the break, we'll talk with Steve Eckert. He's a representative of Mars Bank. We're talking about their Step Forward program that's awaiting you next on the It's Your Turn program, WISR 680 AM.
Great products at greatly reduced prices is exactly what you'll find at Sharp Shopper Grocery Outlet. You'll find many of your favorite name brand grocery items, as well as fresh produce, frozen and refrigerated foods, and much more. All items 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Sharp Shopper has been bringing bargains to Pennsylvania communities for 30 years. Be sure to visit their new Butler store location in Point Plaza. Sharp Shopper Grocery Outlet, a new way to shop, a new way to save.
It just keeps getting better and better at your hometown center for entertainment, Tanglewood. On Saturday, September 15th, enjoy the sights and sounds of the fabulous Gemtones. This Las Vegas-style show and dance band features a variety of music from R&B, soul, oldies, disco, and uptown funk. Doors open at 6 o'clock, BYOB dinner by Chef George at 7, show begins at 8. All this good stuff for only $25. Call 287-0021 for reservations.
The Monock Knights will play their first home game of the season this Friday night, and WISR is there. Hi, everyone. This is Scott Briggs inviting you to join Dave Bacon and me as the Monock Knights host the Highlands Golden Rams on Hall of Fame night. It'll be the introduction of the fourth class of the Monock High School Sports Hall of Fame. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with the coaches' show. 6:45, we're live at the stadium for a 7 o'clock kickoff. Knock Football on WISR is presented in part by Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, by Slippery Rock University, by Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, and by the law firm of Conlon and Tarker. Knock Football also presented by Negley's Bottled Water Service, Honda North, and Valvoline Express Care of Grove City. It's Hall of Fame night as the Knights take on the Highlands Golden Rams on WISR, WISR680.com, and the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
It's never been more important to stay in touch with the events and issues that shape our world. And for more than 25 years, Radio Pennsylvania has been the Commonwealth's source for stories and newsmakers impacting your life. From your state capital to all corners of the Commonwealth, Radio PA's team of award-winning journalists serves as your eyes and ears on the front lines of the major events of our time. Heard all over Pennsylvania on great radio stations like this one, the Radio Pennsylvania Network, bringing you closer to Harrisburg and all of your Keystone State.
Welcome back to the It's Your Turn program. Tyler Friel, Kayla Moles, and in for the vacationing Dave Malarkey on this Tuesday, September 11th. Coming up later on in the program, we'll talk with Doug Saltzman. He is a former staffer to Senator Arlen Specter. And we'll talk about him on 9/11/2001, whenever it happened, in the aftermath of that, especially with the Shanksville Memorial. Officially, the structure that went up today, actually, officially, you know.
It was dedicated on Sunday, but I know the president and the first lady were there just about an hour ago.
So we'll talk with Doug about that. We also, at 1:30, have a Tom Brokaw special as he remembers 9/11 with the Mormon and Tabernacle Choir, so that's all awaiting you. But first, we bring in Steve Eckert. He is with Mars Bank, and we're talking about their Step Forward campaign. Steve, first of all, thanks for coming to the program. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me and for helping us promote this program.
We're very glad to, because this is such a good program. I mean, at the heart of it, a community engagement program of Mars Bank. And so I want to kind of go back to maybe the days before you officially launched this and why the bank wanted to get involved in a program like this and how Step Forward came about.
Well, Mars Bank, of course, is a true community bank, and we've served Butler County since 1900. In fact, two of the three families that started the bank are still involved with the bank. So the people that from the board, executive management, the staff are all people that live, work, and serve in our communities. So for a long time, the bank has supported things like first responders, fire, police, emergency services, as well as the military and veterans. A couple of years ago, we decided, why don't we try to pull all those things together and really have a celebration, thank you, tribute, honoring to those folks that are always ready to step forward when others are stepping back or turning and running. And that's how that was the genesis of the Step Forward program.
And so how long has this been around?
We started in 2016, so this is our third year. And each year we've added to the program. And there are several different components. The main component is the opportunity for the community to send in tributes, thank yous, stories of heroism, excuse me, and just talk about some experience they've had with a first responder or a unit, active military or a veteran. And so we started that in 2016, and then since then we've added different components to it, including the Rock Station's Wiffle Ball Tournament, which supports It's About the Warrior Foundation, which is a great program, and we've added other elements.
I know it's so fitting, Steve, to have you in today, being September 11th. You talk about just how the title of Step Forward came about. I mean, we're all thinking about what happened 17 years ago on this day, and people were running in. There were a lot that were stepping forward when they should have been running, you know, behind. Do you have any stories that have been shared with the bank that really stand out to you, or I'm sure they're all special in their own way?
Well, exactly. It's like, which is your favorite child? We get a lot of different stories. Some are simple thank yous. Some are more of a tribute. Some are honoring a person or telling an event that happened, how a fire company helped. I would say that there are a couple that stand out, but they're all from the heart. they're all gracious and gratitude and loving, and that's what we really enjoy running this program. You know, fathers talking about their sons, you know, spouses talking about their spouse. Mm-hmm. Those are things that are just so meaningful. So
I know we might be a little biased, but I really think people in this community, Butler County, Western Pennsylvania as a whole, are very into service, and, you know, thanking our veterans, thanking our first responders. And I'm sure that's what led to the bank, you know, being the way it is, Mars Bank, mm-hmm. wanting to do this.
Yes. As I mentioned, we're a community bank. Mars Bank had a number of things going on with different first responder, military, veteran. And we said, you know, can we pull this together to just celebrate it, just focus on it? And it is from the day we'll never forget, 9/11, mm-hmm. through Veterans Day on 11/11. And we just wanted to bring more focus to it. And the public response has shown that they want to be a part of it as well.
And so you're asking the public to get involved, correct, here, you know, whether it's through video tributes or writing something. How can the public get involved?
Well, of course, they could put a team in the wiffle ball tournament.
That would be
next
fantastic.
Saturday. And Mars Bank will have a team. We sponsored last year, mm-hmm. but didn't have a team. I believe I'm the third backup to the fifth reserve on the team. So you won't see me on the field, but we will have a team. But certainly there are a number of ways they can get involved. As I mentioned, they can go to Facebook and search Mars Bank PA, and they'll find our Facebook page. You'll see the Step Forward graphic. They can comment, put a submission in right there, upload a video right there. You can also go to marsbank.com, and you'll see the Step Forward graphic. Click on it, take you to the Step Forward page, and that's where they can fill out a form, upload a video, put in that kind of tribute or thank you. And we really are encouraging people to do that. We'll be publishing those on social media, and we're glad to have media partners like the Butler Radio Network mm-hmm. to help us promote those, and hopefully we'll be putting out some on the air and in some other publications that we're partnering with. Other ways they can get involved on Facebook, if you go to Mars Bank's page on Facebook, you'll see a first responder donation contest. And this is the first year for that, just launched this morning. It'll run for a month. And people can vote for a first responder unit in the area that serves the Mars Bank footprint. You put in a vote, you can share it with others, and the top vote getter will get a donation, the second vote getter will get a donation, and then any unit that gets a vote will have opportunity for a random drawing for a third donation. And that's been really exciting, talking to some of these first responder units and what they're thinking about and raising money for.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that'll be a tough one for people to pick their favorites, because I know several, you know, you mentioned the Mars footprint. Several serve that area. So that's hard to pick.
Yeah, there's actually 18 different units that we are featuring, and they run the gamut. And some are looking for donations for their general fund. Others are, there's a police unit that is looking to raise money for a bicycle, for a bicycle patrol officer. There's a couple that are putting money towards canine, but they all have great causes. So mm-hmm. So please go out on Facebook, and you can vote for the next month. And if you share it, you get additional votes to vote for your favorite unit.
The need is definitely there, especially with the volunteer firefighters. I mean, we've done so many stories on how the fire service in Pennsylvania is changing so much, and they used to have so many volunteers, and now it's hard and sometimes to get volunteers and to raise money, yet we all still call 911 when we see a fire, or, you know, God forbid our house catches on fire. We need people to respond, but sometimes there aren't a lot of people to respond. So I know those funds will go a long way for those guys.
Yes.
And girls.
Yeah, I was talking to one chief the other day, and he said, well, we're trying to put together funds for a new piece of equipment, and he's described that to me and said, and it costs $950,000. And I said, okay, our donation probably won't cover that, but we'd glad, you know, to be a part of it. And it is changing. There's a new generation of volunteers stepping forward, and we want to be a part of promoting them, mm-hmm. and helping them to reach their goals.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people realize that those big shiny fire trucks are $1 million plus in some cases. I mean, it really is incredible when you think of how many departments there are, even in one county, and they all need that equipment.
We're talking with Steve Eckert from Mars Bank. You mentioned, Steve, Mars Bank being a community bank. Does that lend maybe someone, maybe Mars Bank leadership to feel a deeper commitment to its community because they are in Butler County?
Sure. The bank was founded in 1900, as I mentioned, and the same people, the same families are involved. The reason that is because when it was founded, there was a need for a community bank in southern Butler County, and that need still exists. Not that big banks are bad, but there's a different feel at a community bank where we're investing in small businesses. We know the business owners. We're helping people meet their individual financial goals, whether that's through loans or other financial products or safe and secure deposits that we take. So it's a little bit different model. The people that work at a community bank are about the community, and so it's not that we're just saying, let's do this. It's flowing out of the hearts and minds of the people that work at the bank.
And there are some other organizations. You had mentioned the It's About the Warrior Foundation, other EMS firefighter organizations as well. But Veterans in Need, too, is another organization you guys work with.
Yes. Veterans in Need is a wonderful Butler County-focused organization. And we started working with them last year at a donation drive where our customers could come into our banking centers and donate. And then the bank also donated. They do great work around emergency needs for veterans in Butler County. So that could be a bill that needs to be paid, or it could be they need furniture to set up an apartment or home. And so we really want to support Veterans in Need. And I know it's the heart of the Butler Radio Network to do that as well. In fact, I was in the hall talking about what can we do. So we sort of pivot between first responders here at 9/11 towards Veterans Day. So the second half of our program is going to be supporting Veterans in Need with a fund drive online where people can donate. Veterans in Need has some needs of their own that have come up related to their space and different things. They're a new organization, only been around a few years. So you can look for that around October 11th that will start that, and that will run up to the Veterans Day Parade, which is not on Veterans Day. It's the 12th.
Monday.
Right? And so we're talking about doing something with the Butler Radio Network at the parade. So we'll be collecting donations up until, and then at the parade, if you're at the parade, we're going to have something special that we're going to have that you can buy and donate to the vets in need.
There's so many organizations, you know, out there nationally. Wounded Warrior Project, just one of them. They're all good, but I think people feel a deeper connection to Veterans in Need and It's About the Warrior because you are saying and they are saying that the money's staying right here in Butler County or just outside. I think that makes a difference.
I agree. We are for all veterans groups, but certainly being a community bank, being focused in this footprint of southern Butler County, we want to help our neighbors. And whether that's through our products and helping someone invest in a home or a business or making a donation or volunteerism. And so Veterans in Need, we love It's About the Warrior. We love because we know that they're helping care for our neighbors.
Right on our same street.
We're talking with Steve Atkert of Mars Bank, the Step Forward campaign. So it's officially launched today.
Yes.
Busy day.
Yes.
But worth it.
Well, no, glad to be here. We have a lot of moving parts, but we're really excited, especially with the partnership with your radio network, that we could come on and talk about it.
Good reception from the branches of Mars Bank, all the employees behind a program like this?
Yeah, so the bank staff is involved in a lot of different we have bank-sponsored days, that work days throughout the year. We have jeans days, those kind of things to raise funds. There's no doubt that it's particularly the veteran military related things really gets a response. So if you go into a banking center, you'll see some of the Step Forward colors, the red, white, and blue, and the submission forms. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone doesn't badger you to get involved, because the banking centers really are excited about it as well.
And there's no minimum requirement in terms of video, so you know it doesn't have to be like a minute long. It can be however long you want to make it, correct?
That's right. And we have gotten submissions, written submissions in the past years that are just saying, I'd just like to say thank you to the Richland Township Fire Department. And that is fine. And we will publish those right alongside the longer, more personal. A video can be, don't worry about, you know, the production. Just take a video, say thank you, make a tribute to someone you know or someone who's cared for you, and upload it, and we'll put it on the web and on social media.
I think that goes so far too for the, whether it's a veteran or a first responder. A lot of times, I mean, we all say thank you, but we can never say it enough. You know what I mean? And I know a lot of people, as they're reflecting on 9/11, they're also thinking about EMS and those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. And I think some of the EMS personnel are the last to ask for anything. You know what I mean? Even if they do need something, they're the they always put themselves last. So I think something like this, even if it is a short video, you picking up your iPhone and just saying thank you, I think it means a lot to these people.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking with a bank staff person, and they were saying, you know, I never really thought about it, but when I'm at the high school football game, there they are in the corner waiting just in case something happens. Mm-hmm. They'll step forward.
Right.
They're the people that see a lot of people at their worst moment in life, and we just want to honor that. Mm-hmm. Because they are always there 24/7, 365.
Yeah, on holidays and everything else.
Again, we're here with Steve Eckert, Mars Bank Step Forward campaign. The 5K race, Fueled by Fire 5K race, what exactly is that?
Right, that benefits a local volunteer fire company in Calorie, okay. Which is right near our headquarters in Mars. And that's a event that it did take place last year during the event. They moved it earlier this year into June. But we had people that volunteered to work there. We were the monetary sponsor for it. And we had a few runners, or maybe run walkers.
They showed up.
From the bank who participated. But that's a great example of a volunteer fire company in Calorie that isn't the biggest, mm-hmm. isn't the best known, but you can vote for them in our donation contest. But they're there, and they serve our Mars Banking Center. So.
In terms of Mars Bank, you know, focusing on the community side of it, you guys are Southern Butler County primarily, correct? That's where most people can access you?
Yeah, so our in Butler County, furthest north is our Penn Township location, which okay. is right up the hill from Butler City, as well as down Route 8 in Richland across 228. We have a couple of banking centers. So we serve Northern Allegheny County, Southern Butler County, and that's really our heart and souls right mm-hmm. there.
And as you mentioned, I do think it's, first of all, amazing that the two out of the three founding families are still involved mm-hmm. with the banking industry, and they're involved with Mars Bank itself is quite remarkable. And then obviously initiatives like this to contribute to the community. Do you guys do other community things outside of the Step Forward program?
Sure. There are a number of initiatives that Mars Bank has. And in fact, I always say the bank punches a little bit above its weight class in how much it donates in the number of hours mm-hmm. that bank staff put in. And we really had an initiative to say not just what is Mars Bank and the management involved in, but let's look at all the staff. So we try to encourage people to get involved in their local church, in their local Little League, in local causes that they care about, mm-hmm. and then the bank will come alongside and help them do that. So we've been involved with a lot of different charitable organizations. If you go to any community day, you'll probably trip over us. That's one of the reasons we love the wiffle ball tournament out at the Beacon Hotel. Mm-hmm. It's a great community event, and we love to be involved with those kinds of things.
And the wiffle ball tournament is coming up next Saturday.
Yes, yes.
It's always a fun time. You'll be out there, correct?
I will.
Right, I'll be there. Steve will be
there. I will be there.
We'll all be there.
Important safety tip, there's no running.
Correct. Right?
So put in a team. You can go up against the six sluggers from Mars Bank and see how you do.
Could you provide, as our time is wrapping up here, Steve, just if people are joining us late, they're interested in expressing their thanks to maybe a veteran, some of these emergency response services, how can they get in touch with you guys?
Absolutely. There's two things we want. We want people to reach out and just submit a story, a thank you, a tribute. They can do that through the Mars Bank page on Facebook. If you search Mars Bank PA, you'll find our page. You'll see the Step Forward graphic. Leave a comment. They can download the form there if they want to fill out the form. Or they can go to marsbank.com, the website. They'll see the Step Forward graphic, click on it, goes to the Step Forward page. They can submit a written form via PDF or fill out the form online, upload a video there. So that's one component. We really encourage people to do that because mm-hmm. it means a lot when we start to publish those out with our media partners. And then the other component is the donations. We'll be doing the direct fund drive starting October 11th for veterans in need. But right now, if they go out to the Facebook page, they'll see the first responder unit donation contest. vote for one of our local units, and we'll be giving out three donations, as I mentioned earlier, for the top vote getters, and also a random one from any of the units that get a vote will have a chance at a random donation. So,
Steve Eckert, Mars Bank, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you next Saturday out of the weekend. We'll have our wiffle ball gear on. We'll be ready to go. And if you still want to get a team into that, we are still taking entries, and you can do that by calling the Butler Radio Network. 724-283-1500 is the number there. Thanks so much for coming in, Steve.
Thank you. Tyler. Nice to meet you, Kelly.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
All right, coming up after the break, we'll be talking with Doug Saltzman. He was a former staffer to Senator Arlen Specter, and we'll be discussing exactly what the senator's role was in 9/11 and exactly what Doug had to do as well. So that's all coming up after the break. You're listening to It's Your Turn. Tyler Friel, Kayla Molzan, and for Dave Malarkey on WISR 680 AM.
Hearing aids are a complex issue, but at the heart of it, we really want just a few simple things. We want to be able to hear well, to get personalized care, and all at a reasonable cost. Well, a simple chat with Hearing Services by Kelly, and you'll find that she stands above the rest. She's not going to sell you the highest price hearing aid just to make a sale. In fact, you'll save thousands of dollars because there isn't any overhead. With Kelly, you get experience and one-on-one personalized care that you don't get anywhere else. Call the hearing aid lady today. Phone number 724-756-4327. That's 724-756-4327. Her customers who made the change are so happy they did, and you will be too. 724-756-4327.
Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has a rich history in Butler. Now they are making continuous improvements and technological advancements to better serve the community. Sunnyview specializes in short-term rehabilitation and skilled nursing. Schedule a tour to see their beautiful facility. Call 332-6872 or visit sunnyviewcenter.com. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, close to your home and close to your heart.
Hello, I'm Laura Hensley with Central Electric Cooperative. The following tips can help you save energy dollars and get the most out of your cooling system during these dog days of summer. Set your thermostat to 77 degrees, install a programmable thermostat, clean or replace your air conditioner filter monthly, close east-facing curtains or blinds in the morning and west-facing in the evening, weather strip doors and windows, upgrade insulation, and make sure your attic door closes tightly. Use ceiling fans to circulate cool air. And always listen for Central Electric's peak alerts for energy conservation. This saves everyone money by reducing the cost of power during peak times. This is Laura Hensley for Central Electric Cooperative. Our tradition is to service, our responsibility is to safety. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Welcome back to the It's Your Program, listeners. Tyler Friel and Kayla Molzan in for the vacationing Dave Malarkey on this September 11th, 2018. And yes, it is indeed September 11th. 17 years ago, the World Trade Centers were hit by two airplanes, an airplane, Flight 93, crashing not that far from here in Summitville, and then, of course, the one into the Pentagon. And with that, we bring in Doug Saltzman, frequent guest of the It's Your Turn program with Dave Malarkey. He is a political analyst, but he's also a former staffer to Senator Arlen Specter, and he was the director of the Pittsburgh Regional Office at the time 9/11 occurred. Doug, thanks for making the time today. We really appreciate you coming on the program. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Doug, I know that so many people, you know, woke up today and probably had a lump in their throat and immediately thought back to where they were when they first heard that something was happening in our country. Can you take us back to that day 17 years ago? Where were you when you first heard of the news?
Yeah, it seems so long ago, but it actually is not all that long ago, you know, in terms of history, 17 years. I was at the time in the Federal Building on the 20th floor of the Federal Building in downtown Pittsburgh when we got the word of the initial hit, and of course we immediately tuned in to get the information. I reported to the FBI headquarters, which at that point was right across the street on Grand Street in downtown Pittsburgh, to get the latest information so that I could brief the senator of what was going on, gather the information that I could from there. It was at that point, while we were getting this information, that sort of a grizzled old FBI agent walked into the room. And these guys and gals have seen everything. Mm-hmm. There's nothing much that can surprise an FBI agent. But this guy walked in and in a broken voice mentioned that a plane had crashed into Somerset. So, at this point, hitting the World Trade Centers or hitting the Pentagon sounds like what would be a target for a terrorist. But rural Somerset County having a plane crash into it, it made us almost feel as if the world was coming to an end at that point.
Absolutely. And we now know what happened, but at that time you didn't know if there were going to be more plane crashes. I know all planes were grounded for, quite some time. What was your immediate reaction and what did you tell the senator? Did you have to go somewhere or what did you do?
Right. Well, at that point, of course, then I reported that back to Washington, which they had heard about it but couldn't get it confirmed. It seems worlds ago, internet was around, but not like it is now, that you could get information as quickly as you could then that you can now. But I was able to confirm that the FBI had said, yes, this plane crashed. At this point, we had no idea. Did it hit a school? Did it hit the courthouse in Somerset County? We couldn't figure out what's a target in Somerset County that it would have gone after. Because at that point, we just assumed that the terrorist purposely crashed it there. We didn't, of course, it came out later that the passengers attempted to take back control of the plane. But at that point, you had to wonder, like, good heaven, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
If it's hitting, there's one thing, like I said, to hit the Pentagon. If they were going to the White House, if they were going to the Capitol building, the World Trade Center, those are all. And then at that point, we're thinking of the biggest buildings in the world. Of course, that's the Pentagon. I had recommended, and they followed suit, to shut down the Cathedral of Learning at the University of Pittsburgh, because that's the tallest academic building in the Western Hemisphere, thinking mm-hmm. that might be a target, since they were going after the biggest, the tallest, et cetera. So it was something from a professional standpoint. From a personal standpoint, it was so totally different, trying to think, okay, where am I going to tell my family to go at this point? Can I go with them? Do I have to stay here? That sort of thing.
Professionally, I mean, that is amazing when you talk about, just your immediate reaction, thinking we need to, clear the Cathedral of Learning. We need to look at elsewhere. I mean, that just had to be so terrifying, but I'm sure you just reacted because you couldn't really do anything else.
Right. I remember calling home because at that point they were actually considering, and this wasn't reported a lot, evacuating major cities because they had, at that point, there were rumors going around that even locally they said planes had been stolen and hijacked out of the Arnold Palmer Airport in Latrobe, which wasn't true. But, you're trying to clear the air of thousands and thousands of planes that are flying across the United States to ground them all immediately was unprecedented. There was no handbook to tell folks how to get every plane in America down to the ground as soon as possible. So no one quite knew what was going on. And every time you heard a plane, you're thinking, okay, why isn't that one grounded? So it was one of those moments where, I thought I was in control of my emotions. I mean, I wasn't running around hysterical, but when you see an FBI agent who I knew at the time and had seen everything imaginable, and his voice cracked when he was saying that plane hit Somerset, because mm-hmm. none of them had seen any. I mean, they've all been part of plane crashes and investigations, but nothing like this one where planes mm-hmm. were purposely crashed into buildings to kill people.
Now, was Senator Specter in Washington, D.C., or was he elsewhere?
Yes, he was. He was in Washington, D.C. The Capitol, the Senate was in session, which, when you look back on it, to think if they had been successful in hitting the Capitol, and that's what the indication was, that the plane that hit the Pentagon was actually aiming for the White House. Now, the White House is pretty big compared to homes you and I live in, perhaps, but it's surrounded by trees. A non-professional pilot may have had trouble finding it, and that's why they think they went to the Pentagon. And then they believe that the plane that was forced down in Shanksville by the passengers was actually headed to the Capitol, because it would not be hard to find the Capitol in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
The White House is a little different, though. It's a much smaller building surrounded by trees. So the senator was there, and we got him that information. I then went on to Shanksville, Stony Creek Township, where the crash occurred, and was able to provide information back. And then Senator Specter and his colleague at the time, Senator Rick Santorum, both flew up on a helicopter. And you know, not knowing what was there, the pilot landed and what was the biohazard area of the crash site. And so I immediately, you know, this is, you know, before the days of everybody carrying around a cell phone, and I was able to get hold of a state police pilot, helicopter pilot, who was able to radio the other helicopter and say, get out of that area, fly back about half a mile and land here where it's not the biohazard area. Both senators got off that helicopter, immediately wanted to see the wreckage of the plane, and I was the first to report to them that there was no wreckage left. Almost the entire plane was incinerated upon impact on that that strip mine location there.
Doug, can you describe for all of us that didn't see where the plane went down in the field? I mean, what did it look like when you first came on it? I'm sure it took your breath away.
What did, but, you know, you think of a plane crash like you see in a movie where the fuselage is burning or mm-hmm. the fuselage is half missing. There was nothing. I mean, the plane grounded itself 20-some feet into the ground because it was going at such enormous speed. The ground was somewhat soft because it was a reclaimed strip mine. And you expected to see something like that when, in fact, you saw folks in biohazard suits and bulldozers moving dirt around. And that caused problems immediately with the families of those who were killed because they said, you're rolling bulldozers over my loved one's remains. And there was really not much else they could do to be able to get what's left of that plane, which they do in a plane crash to try to reassemble what's left of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
There was very little. The largest piece of the plane was just a few feet long section of an engine, which of course is the sturdiest, hardest part of a plane. And that's frankly the largest part they found. Mm-hmm. Sadly, they found less than 20% of the remains of those who were killed in that crash because the plane was flying at such enormous speed, almost going straight down when it hit the ground. Mm-hmm. So most of it just simply incinerated or then flew into the nearby wooded area, which was right behind where the plane actually hit.
How close was, and I have not been down to Shanksville, I need to get down there, especially now to see the Tower of Voices, but how close is it to civilization? I mean, would you consider it lucky that it didn't hit into a building or a school, a government office, anything like that, or is it pretty much in the middle of nowhere?
You could say it's in the middle of nowhere. There are homes certainly around there. In fact, there was a home not that far away. A woman was the first one to take a picture of the plume of smoke going up and was later accused of somehow being part of it, which was absurd, that she just happened to take a picture of the smoke going up from the crash. But it really was amazing and, frankly, fortunate. It could have hit a mall. It could have hit a school. Mm-hmm. It could have hit anywhere. It's not as if from all the indications in the report, the 9/11 Commission report, was that when the terrorists realized that they were losing control of the plane to the passengers, they decided to crash it on their own. And certainly they were not looking for an empty field to go into. They were just simply attempting to crash that plane instead of allowing it to go back into the control of the pilot who was still on the plane with the passengers trying to get back into the cockpit to gain control of it. So amazingly, it really is in the middle of nowhere. And that's frankly what makes the memorial so remarkable is that, you know, you don't look off in the distance and see a Kmart sign or something.
Yeah.
It really is a beautiful setting where it is. For a tragic event, it's a beautiful setting where the memorial is. And it really is worth visiting at any time of year. It's open year-round.
I know the president and the first lady were there earlier today. When's the last time you've been down to the memorial?
Last 9/11. Yeah, I've gone almost every single year on the anniversary. And, of course, over the years, at first they just simply, you know, had tents set up in a temporary memorial. But
mm-hmm.
it really is, and people have criticized that it took so long to do it. Well, this is not something you rush into.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they had to acquire the land. It was owned, privately owned land. You know, so it did take some time, and of course, the design of the memorial itself. But when you look back on it, it truly is an amazing sight to think what happened there. And President George W. Bush at the time said they were the first warriors in the war on terrorism. These passengers who came together, maybe a couple people knew each other on that plane, but most did not. And they got together and attempted to stop that plane from, many thought at the time, was going to the U.S. Capitol in
mm-hmm.
Washington, D.C. And imagine a plane wrecking into the U.S. Capitol. The image that would have had on the world that a plane flew into the U.S. Capitol. It would have been, it would have made what was an absolute dreadful situation, if it could have even been worse, much worse, to hit the seat of government.
We're talking with Doug Saltzman, former staffer to Senator Arlen Specter. He was on the senator's staff when 9/11 happened. We are short on time here, Doug, and I know this may be a longer question that requires a longer answer, but what was the communication like? You had mentioned no internet during that day. So what was Senator Specter receiving? What was the scene in Washington, D.C.? And I know I'm asking you to say that in about 60 seconds, but if you could parse it down to some quick language, yeah. what was going on in Senator Specter's office in Washington, D.C., and what was the communication like?
Yeah, it was a series where they were evacuating the Capitol. They were evacuating the House office building, the Senate office building. I wasn't there, of course, but talking to my fellow staffers, they said it was remarkably calm and organized. People weren't running up over sidewalks, you know, with their cars to get out of there. People just came together and realized what they have to do to leave. They said the skies were just covered with airplanes, crisscrossing back and forth the Capitol Mall, the Capitol itself, the White House, the monuments. It was just nonstop Air Force jets going back and forth, monitoring, you know, what was going on in those in that airspace.
He's Doug Saltzman, former staffer to Senator Arlen Specter. Doug, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you having a conversation with us, and thanks again.
Thanks for your point of view, Doug.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Coming up after the break, Tom Brokaw remembers 9/11, a special tribute with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and that will wrap up our program, so we will talk to you tomorrow. Tyler Friel, Kayla Moles, and in for Dave Malarkey. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR 680 AM.
Concordia Visiting Nurses is a Medicare-certified home health agency offering services provided by healthcare professionals like registered and licensed practical nurses, physical, speech, and occupational therapists, home health aides, and many more. We also provide specialty services like palliative care and telehealth monitoring. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
I'm Tom Brokaw. It's been years since 9/11, and yet we continue to tell the stories of the children, parents, and families, airline passengers, and air traffic controllers, the firemen, and other first responders, for they inspire and give us hope. But how do we tell the story of the rest of America, those who watched the images and heard the accounts and were forever changed? As they went through their own experiences with loved ones in war zones and struggled with economic uncertainty at home, they never gave up. The story of America cannot be told in words and images alone. Join the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra at Temple Square in a remembrance of 9/11, of a nation rising above.
Thank you. Over the years, thousands of Americans have traveled to Ground Zero.
For most, the experience is deeply moving, spiritual, like a visit to Gettysburg or Arlington National Cemetery. It is a sobering and humbling experience to reflect on the terrible loss of life and the irrational violence it causes. But the memories of fearless bravery by ordinary fellow citizens fill us with awe and pride. To so many visitors, it is a life-changing experience. In that sacred place, they examine their own destiny and renew a commitment to what the hymn describes as the beauty of the earth and the joy of human life.
We saw an explosion. The towers were not too far off in the distance. And we came to understand that was the second plane hitting the South Tower at the time. It was then that I realized something was very wrong. And I turned to the driver, I said, take me home. My time with my family is what I hold most treasured. I didn't think it would be possible or that it would require an event like 9/11 to make me feel any more connected to my wife and my children. But I worked to be with my family. I worked to have more time with them. The one thing that I have that I can hold on to the most is my family, my faith, and my friends.
My sister was taking her children to a school on East Coast in Rhode Island, and she talked Mom into a little vacation. They're going to go to Rhode Island and New York and visit some sites, and Mom was excited about it. I remember her calling me the night before she came home. I said, how's it going? She says, oh, it's just wonderful, but I have to fly home. And I said, you'll be fine. And so she took off that next morning from Boston and never heard from her again. The main thing from my mother is her optimism and her love of life and her love and appreciation of the people around her, to give the benefit of the doubt to people around her and to see the good in them, and to not shy away from interaction as I'm prone to do sometimes. Maybe I could be a little bit more like my mother and reach out to people.
We were always a really close family growing up, my brothers and I and my parents. They made sure that we worked together and we played together. And Brady was actually going to fly home that weekend, and we were going to have a big family get together. Having lost my brother in 9/11, I committed to make sure that my family was really close. So now as I raise my family, we want to make sure that we have fun together and we build those memories and that my kids are close to each other.
Among the most poignant stories are those of the children. Trying to understand the sudden violent loss of family members and the terrifying images of destruction reminds us all of the lost innocence of that day and the days to come. We have learned again that nothing can extinguish the influence of a human life, particularly as it is felt in the heart of a child. That, too, is part of the legacy of 9/11. Billy Joel reminds us all that the lullabies that we sing to children, those tender songs that shape their lives and the love they express, can never die. Someday we'll
I remember we kept calling up behind us to see what floor people were coming from, and we never heard anybody from the 92nd floor and up. But then I heard the second tower come down, the first one that was hit, and that's when I slumped in my chair, realizing that I was there just a little while ago. My priorities had almost changed in an instant, where I was worried about making the money and commuting and getting the finer things in life, so to speak, and then realizing that I almost didn't come home at that point, and thinking of my family and my wife and kids.
The memory of rescuers, civilians, as well as first responders, the raw courage of the fight-back passengers on United Flight 93, those are the images that endure. We wonder, would I be as brave? Their sacrifice was a personal choice to put others before their own well-being. People of every religious persuasion recognize that this is grace, the willingness to give what has not been earned and may not be deserved. It is certainly the highest virtue and the deepest expression of love for others. Perhaps this is why amazing grace has become our salute to those who sacrificed themselves for others. John Newton, first a slave trader, then a rescuer of slaves, described this grace as amazing, and so it is.
Thank you.
Irving Berlin's original God Bless America included the words, "Make her victorious on land and foam." But victory is not on the battlefield alone. There is also the victory of the heart and faith and compassion. God Bless America became the unofficial anthem of 9/11 because so many found comfort and guidance in its soaring stanzas. It bound together a nation in need of a common voice. Today, with arms outstretched to one another and hands willing to serve, America has come together once again. May it ever be so.
We were literally looking up at it, frozen as it came down, and then turn around and run and just kind of sprint to get away from it. And looking back over your shoulder, there's this wall of black smoke, and that's when, you know, it all got dark. So, you know, I've got three, soon to be four children, and they've all been born after September 11th. So in the last 10 years, all my children have been born. They're going to learn about September 11th in their history books and in their history classes in school as they grow up. What I hope for them, and not just my children, but for their generation, is that they can never forget how precious this country is and the principles of freedom that we enjoy here.
Midday lottery numbers for today. Your pick two is 7272. The pick three is 596, 596. Pick four, 9932. The pick five, 85642. Wild ball for each of those is zero. And your treasure hunt, 4, 7, 12, 18, and 28. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
This is Butler's hometown radio station, your source for the latest.